Honorable Zembo, Honorable Sheikh, Honorable Kumane, Honorable Matafa, Honorable Sarupen, Honorable Josephs, in that order.
thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, let's start by accepting this approach that you are coming up with. It was, in fact, just semantics. That I thought that you were not adjourning the meeting. I thought that you were saying we are done with the presentation and then we could leave behind. But nevertheless, I think you are correct for a good purpose that we put all our things according to book. That's the first. Chair, allow me. You will call me to order if I am out of order, because you have already said that we are done with the presentation from the department. But Chair, just one thing, if not two. Let us confirm what we were saying about the short notice and awkward hours. I'm raising this same chair of awkward hours because it was only yesterday that we were adopting our program. Now, we should avoid the situation where Darren is found wanting as to where now to begin to slot in this particular department because of this thing. Hence, I am talking of one short notice and awkward hours. It starts with us then, Chairperson, if we would be ready for such awkward hours. We may appeal to each other either to break from our constituency work and be here in the Monday afternoon or whatever. It depends on your arrangement, I think, the Chairperson and the service. To decide on that. But then secondly, on that, is that Chair, you are dealing here with a department which is in the presidency. And this has to be controlled in the manner in which we used to do during our oversight programs, where we would have the chairperson of the committee being the spokesperson. Because, Chair, I think this has to be explained. Why did we take this position? And fortunately, we were unanimous as political parties here. And what is it that we are going to do, particularly if we agree on the short meeting that we are going to convene and all that. So if the chairperson could make a statement around that, mandated by the committee. I will come, Chair, as the second bite, almost number last, in terms of these other discussions around ESCOM and other things.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, my understanding is that we as this particular committee have a very responsible committee in being able to follow the budget. And time and time again, you know, we know that almost all our departments are experiencing some kind of challenges or difficulties. And my understanding is that we are supposed to identify some of those challenges because we've appropriated those resources and go out there and find the root causes of them and who are responsible for it and ensure that even if there's consequence management, inform the relevant departments to be able to deal with it. And I'm going to give you one good example. We always hear in the public domain the issue of SAA and we want to sell it and do this and do that. Yet we know what the problems in SAA is and nobody is really going and dealing with it. One ideal example I'll give you is what we've been told about the bottle, that little bottle of water that they give you on the plane. And apparently that there's a middleman, and the cost of that bottle of water is 10 times more than what you'll pay for a normal bottle of water. Now, what I'm saying is that should we not take a matter like that, go to SAA, right, these are some of the problems. Can you tell us who you're buying this water from? How much are you buying? Work out what the cost, so that we could now get the relevant people to deal with it. I'll give you another example, Chair. Water and sanitation came here, my colleagues were on, what, 4 years ago? For 4 years or 5 years, I've been running after them because we went on an oversight and we found corruption alive. And when they did a report, after they were ducking and dodging us for a long period of time, we were convinced there's corruption. Up to today, despite the change in ministers and DGs and everything, do you know, Chair, they have evaded the issue of providing us the document that I've repeatedly been requesting. To be able to prove to them, because imagine on a 300,000 rand job, eventually when we picked up what was going on, they saved 166. Now how do you save 166,000 on a 300,000 rand job? So we asked them all the relevant information and they ran away from that as well. Now, what I'm saying is there are so much of challenges there. But what I find is, despite all the oversight structures that we've got, right up to monitoring and evaluation, problems are persisting, they're continuing. So I feel that we as a committee should play a greater role in going out there, identifying certain departments with certain challenges, and going right to the root of it, and being then calling for consequence management so that we can deal with the problem and eradicate it once and for all, so there's not a repetition. Otherwise, we'll be defeating our purpose. And that's what I find. The second thing is, Chair, all these, if you take our committee, all these departments are coming here, and it's costing a lot of money for them to come here. Sometimes they have to stay over, they're flying at a high cost. I'm not sure whether it is feasible, whether it could work if this committee, and I know there's been talk of reducing the number of parliamentary days and debates there because we find that it was not serving the intended purpose, that we should be going to Pretoria and interviewing all the different departments in 3-4 days, every one of them. You know, whether it's water and sanitation, whether it's rural development, dealing with those issues, rather than every department coming with 10, 12 people flying in here, spending 2 hours and they're going back at a very exorbitant cost. And we were talking about Gali. So I thought maybe we need to look at that issue as well. But like you've suggested with ESCOM, I feel that we should identify departments where the problem is with the reports we're getting and go there. Now, we as political parties, we may be from different political parties, but we also pick up a whole lot of things, you know, the concern raised by people. We pick up issues of corruption on the ground and this and that. We must be able to come to this committee, Chair, and say, Chair, there's a particular instance there. There's 500,000 rand job, 2 million rand was spent. We lost 1 point, because that's why I come with that 240 billion that we're losing annually. So what must we do? We must be able to start now, starting from the top, and said, let's get to that root cause. If we're not going to set examples, I want to tell you, we are not going to achieve it. So that is where I wanted to come in, Chair, that maybe if we could just go and deal with these issues hands-on and then put pressure on the relevant departments to ensure that those people that are not performing, and I'll tell you, the people going to come here from water and sanitation, I'll tell you exactly the same thing they said last year, the year before, with no improvement whatsoever. So they are still there, still getting paid. Why? So I feel that's what we should be doing, Chair. That's my contribution into it.
Thank you, Chairperson, again. I feel we are in a very important committee. However, I'm not sure whether we are up to the task, or I don't know how to put it in a better way. Because, Chairperson, the example that you have just pointed out to, particularly that one of ESCOM, it's very important to say we had that representation. They agreed to say this service provider was paid X amount of money exceeding the agreed. But then, I don't know, how should we find a way to identify that a service provider? What led to that? How or what remedial actions are taken? Because I think seated here as a committee, we're always being told that there cases are being referred to relevant authorities. But it takes ages for those to be concluded. But I think it is also the fact that we are not addressing this issue of corruption on a serious note. And Chairperson, as Honorable Sheikh Imam has said, we're still having so many departments that yesterday we were speaking of this pit toilet things in the first aid. And it is not only in the first aid. You know, last week I went to Northwest in Ramotsirumila. There is a school which is dilapidated. They're still using pit toilets. Yet there is the Department of Education which is underspending. And we don't speak to the underspending as to whether it benefits the country, or the underspending is informed by the impact, satisfactory impact done. We're only hearing of the underspending and that targets were not met. And they are just there and they are said to be addressed. They would then come. And the same, I would still have the same challenges. And we have got so many departments, Chairperson, particularly corporative governance, Department of Corporative Governance, the CWP matter. That is very, very important in terms of unemployment keeping. But we would find that they would say we have maybe increased the participation rate from 100 to 200, but we don't know what was the target for that year, whether the target was met, but by virtue of them having increased, we clap hands for them. And still, we don't, in terms of their procurement procedures and others, we don't speak to them as and when they have used the allocation, the procurement allocation, we clap hands for them. But does the procurement plan and the procurement that is being spent there, does it really serve the purpose? You go to Northwest Mahikeng. There were in the same department in one financial year. There were more than 30 JoJo tanks bought for the same municipality. But then you would ask yourself whether the procurement plan was aligned to the IDP of that municipality, or was it aligned to the implementation of that? Those are some of the things that we are not getting deeper into when you're addressing the matters. So that is how we then be seen as if we are a toothless committee. But Chairperson, I think by Chairperson having said that, we need to maybe identify if we can deal with two departments or two categories and thoroughly get work with them and find the solutions and eradicate all the challenges that need be. I think that would then be a lesson learned to the other departments. Chairperson, in closure, I think what Honorable Sheikh Imam is saying, it would not only save costs, but it would as well save time, and it will as well make justice, and the other committees would as well do the same. Maybe if we intercommunicate with other committees to say, SACOA will be taking an oversight visit to Pretoria to engage 1, 2, 3 departments. The other committee will be having the same plan. Then it would make lives and everything easier. At some point, would even engage, because there is a need for us to, at some point, inter-engage with the departments, with other portfolio committees. Because there is communication between all the committees, but particularly that we ultimately have got to appropriate the funds to those departments. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Now, I am going to limit myself to the discussion around ESCOM, save to say that the earlier decision that was taken by the committee, I think it's in order, and I'm quite happy with the decision. Chair, on the ESCOM matter, there are certain issues that were raised in our deliberations, firstly in the committee and also in the debate before Parliament. And key to me are the irregularities that we are picking up, particularly on the issue of the overpayment of a particular service provider. which until today as a committee we do not know any detail that surrounds that particular payment. Second to that, Chair, is the issue of structural defects. So our view should be one that seeks to establish the root cause of all these things, and particularly maybe have an outlook in terms of how they can be resolved. And what I would like to propose, Chair, or put forward for consideration is the possibility of a forensic audit. In our debate, we raised that issue, that we really need to drill deeper so that we are able to establish if whether is it people failing, is it systems failing, or are there any other matter that can be lifted for prevention of such occurrences happening in the future. That is the first part, Chair. But linked to that is also on the issue of the contract management part. We all agree sitting here that the biggest cost is in the generation space. And then we have identified the IPPs as well as the coal contract as the biggest cost drivers. So I think it's important that I remember in one of the committees, the Minister of Public Enterprises made a statement that there is engagement around the issue of contracts. So my view, Chair, is that maybe it's time that the committee is taken into confidence in terms of what progress has been made. But the contracts, we should not only limit them to the IPPs and the coal contracts. The build project as well. For me, it's concerning that we are running such a massive investment with contracts that do not have damage clauses. Because if according to my understanding, if Eskom comes to us and say we are going to need an additional amount to fix defects, it means that the damages are not being taken, or the responsibility thereof is not taken by the contractor but by the client, and in this case Eskom. So I think it's important that when we look at those contracts, we also look at that particular issue. The last one, Chair, is on the issue of the staff composition. There are contrasting views that are emerging. I was not present in one committee where the board was here, but I was able to benefit from televised the committee sitting, where one board member raised the issue of saying the staff is a bit bloated. And the sense that I picked up when we went for the investigation or the visit, it seems that the management of Eskom hold a different view. I don't think that they agree that the staff is bloated. And I was taught that structure follows strategy. So for us, it will be important to establish if whether the current structural composition of Eskom follows any particular strategy, and would that structure be flexible enough to follow the current direction that Eskom is taking, particularly when it comes to the issue of the unbundling or restructuring of the entity. And in closing, Chair, we once sat with the National Treasurer, and I raised a concern and in a form of a question, that the restructuring officer being appointed, how insulated or how are we going to protect him from any other issue that have caused all other CEOs to leave? And I remember clearly that the DG said, no, we don't ask for reasons why people leave, so I can't say that we'll be protected. Now today, driving here, Chair, I hear on the news that we are being blamed as Parliament for not supporting the former SAA CEO when he presented, according to what they think and believe, a very brilliant strategy. I took it upon myself to go back, because if I remember correctly, there was a letter that he penned and he opened it up to the public. I read that letter. That letter has undertones of that assertion by Eskom that as Parliament, we are not playing a proper and decisive oversight over our entities. So which brings back the issue of how then do we enhance our oversight role as different committees, as appropriations, public enterprises, and in the case of Eskom, maybe the Department of Energy as well. So I think that is how we should also express our view, Chair, that we need to enhance and consolidate the work that we do as Parliament from different committees to have a singular approach and maybe eventually have a consolidated report as far as the work that we are doing to assist our entities come out of their situation. Thank you very much, Chair. For now, let me pause there.
Thank you. Joseph? Osarupen?
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I was quite disturbed to find out that in the main appropriation bill this year, we approved, not the special appropriation, the main appropriation, we approved 23 billion rand for ESCOM. I was quite disturbed to find out in a response to a written question that National Treasury had transferred the full amount without any conditions. That 23 billion that we approved, and remember in the main text of the appropriation bill, it said the minister may impose conditions. And National Treasury came to this committee and said they'd look at conditions. And we passed a special appropriation. They told us they're working on developing these conditions and so on. But the money, the 23 billion, now granted part of that was the emergency amount that was transferred, but the rest of that, it was, I think, 9 billion that wasn't part of the emergency appropriation, was transferred then to ESCOM. No conditions. Free money. Do as you please. And then all of the matters that the other members have raised, of course, that have been concerning us around procurement, around build contracts and so on, still persist. So what we need to also do, Chair, is have very serious conversations with Treasury based on our earlier interactions this year. Because they told us, they're the ones who said ESCOM is an existential risk to the economy. But they're busy transferring money without conditions because they're exercising their authority to transfer money and then worrying about conditions maybe not later. And I will forward Darren the written response to my question because I found that completely unacceptable. And it shows that the discussions we are having with Treasury, when they come here and they make commitments, and this is why, Chair, I said we should have been amending those bills to include conditions for ESCOM. Because what is going on in reality is that ESCOM seems to think that it can hold the taxpayer to ransom. If you don't give us money, ESCOM's attitude to the government is if you don't give us money, we'll trigger a sovereign debt crisis. We've got to start putting that situation on its head, or we're going to be bailing out ESCOM. I'm saying this in this committee, and I've said in this house, for another 100 years. And that is the most disturbing thing that I've found out over this last while.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do support the proposal that we perhaps need to go up and meet more national departments at one place instead of them coming down to Cape Town, because we also want to make a contribution for cost saving, I think, and efficiency from outside. With regard to ESCOM and the invoices, I'm not sure if it's the same company or it's various companies that has impacted on the 4 billion. But I think the amount, of course, and the follow-up, I think what you raised, Chair, is important. It's important that we interrogate what the committee or the board told us, you know, what our engagements with them. So I support that we need to, as some of the members say, unpack some of the issues raised. In fact, we're probably going to have an oversight report debate, I'm sure. We should have that as well. And then I think we need to have a follow-up, say, in 6 months' time with ESCOM CEO management, senior management, and the board to make sure that we keep a handle on. There's last point, Chair, there are many operational issues in ESCOM that we are concerned of that has massive financial impacts. But actually, it is not our function to delve into the operational part of ESCOM. You know, the departments must do their work. They've got committees and oversight. So we don't want to go there. But we know what they are busy with in terms of their operation as a financial impact. And I don't know if we can also ask the other committees, the minister or the political leads, they to come and talk to us further on operations that has serious financial implications going forward in ESCOM. So I just
I just want to leave it there for now, but I support the notion you said, Chair, that we can't just leave things and wait for other people to deal. We must play a leading role, because our responsibility is to turn the ship around slowly, step by step, so that we can, because we serve the people of this country, that there can be more accountability and value for money, and better service to the people of in South Africa. Thank you.
Before we conclude, Zanisa. Okay, sorry.
I asked that I would be number last chair on this issue of ESCOM.
So you're at the wrong place, because you wanted to be number last, and now it looks like you are going to be penultimate person. But that's fine. Talk, Honourable Zembo.
Sure, sure.
And then after that, you'll be Honourable Kaiso.
Chair, I welcome your thinking regarding ESCOM. Chair, this is the test of times when it comes to ESCOM. I want to suggest, Chair, that as the committee, you would bear with me. I like delegating. You bear with me because I believe in teamwork. And I believe that if you agree on a particular issue as a collective, then the leader can then lead. I want to suggest, Chair, that without lamenting around all these issues at ESCOM, remember, you spoke of a particular service provider whose name is not known to us. You spoke to the overshooting of the budget. You spoke to all these shenanigans, which are flimsy and not clear in ESCOM. If the committee allows me, Chair, or agrees with me, I would suggest that we mandate the chairperson of this committee to look for a way of trying to dig deep into what is happening at ESCOM. This may be, Chair, considering the possibilities of a forensic audit into what is happening at ESCOM. I am mindful, Chair, of the fact that we may not, as this committee, just conclude on that. Because when you are talking of a forensic audit, it's involving. You have to avoid a situation where you take Ichomi Kamlenzana to go conduct forensic audit to Mlenzana. And also, you have got what is called in government the powers and functions. Who's to do what in terms of authority and all the legal prescripts? Are you able as committee to do 1, 2, 3, or should it be done by Parliament and all that? So that's why, Chair, I'm saying, if the committee agrees with me, we give you that open mandate to go and, see the best way of actually digging up, so that at the end of the day, we're able, as the committee, because remember what you said when we first came here in this committee. You said it in the Zulu, what has been on the land. We are not security guards for money. We must appropriate money and we must follow that money and see if it works appropriately. That's what I wanted to raise, Chair, as far as ESCOM is concerned. I don't mind much, Chair, about the program of restructuring, which is still going to be tabled to us after the paper was presented. That's another thing which I suggest that. What I am pleading to the committee that you mandate you on should run, of course, parallel. It should not be confused to the restructuring project that is taking place in this court. Let that one run, but allow this process of finding the rand and cents from ESCOM, Uguti Zenzain. Thanks, Chair.
Just one point. Maybe in escalating this discussion, because we've got our strategic partners in the NCOP select committee, we must find a way, because we'll be debating next week, that we tighten up that relation such that now there must be a coherency in dealing with this. So it was just my proposal that we should not, must find a way then to have together meet with the select committee at NCOP 11. Thank you.
Thank you, all members. Zamisa. It relates to the report which was going to be presented by the Department of DPME. So it relates to that. We had a little bit of a discussion, and I think it's important that he shares it with the honourable members. Honourable Zamisa.
Thanks, Jefferson. Thanks, honourable members. Honourable members, basically, I was just alerting the chairperson. I think chairperson is right. It needs all members to note. I looked at the presentation by the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, and the presentation was really not up to scratch in terms of the content, because the mandate of that department is much broader than just looking at the figures. You know, to say the department had 1,000 targets, they achieved 40. They need to dig deeper and say in each department these are the key programs and projects, and they need to evaluate the impact of those projects, especially in terms of service delivery. So when I looked at the presentation, they basically took the adjusted estimate of national expenditure and summarized the information that is there, packed it together and brought it here. And I don't think it would have assisted the committee, especially on the matters that have been discussed, and the treasurer will always say those matters will be answered by the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. So the suggestion was that I think that will be Darren will be writing to them to say in when they come back to present to the committee, their presentation must have more depth, especially in terms of the impact of key programs and projects in each of the 49 budget votes. Thank you, Chairperson.
I thought that was important to remember that you be apprised to that, because I think we're able to see ourselves when we deal with the, for instance, the report from National Treasury about performance, that here was the actual, here's the deviation. You can see that that's an accountant's type of the responsibility, right? Our interest is more than that. I think that's the point that as Amisa is making. So again, that it talks to the quality of the presentation which was going to be made to us. So Darren, I think we'll have to capture that, the type of information that we need from at DPME. Honourable members, I think you agree on all these things, and I must take them forward. There are some suggestions which I think all the recommendations that we're making can only make us look better. And not just make us look better, make us do our work more effectively and efficiently, but not just us, but also assist the departments and all those that we interact with to be more effective and efficient in their work. I think that's what it is. Perhaps as I conclude, our Bible is the Money Bills and Related Matters Act, number 9 of 2009, the Money Bills Act. Why I'm saying that is that our responsibility, it's a legal responsibility. So we've got some legal responsibility that we must perform, contained here. So time and again, while you must accept that there are other committees, you have got other responsibilities. Ours is contained in an act. So time and again, we need to look closer to that act and see that in our actions, are we still doing what is expected by the act, so that we are not guilty of omission or commission by doing things that perhaps would have been very clearly defined in the act that I've referred to. I think that brings us to the end of the meeting. No, it's not. Because Darren has said there are some possibilities about the days that he thinks that our possibilities, we look at how effective they are in terms of calling back the department. Darren, what did you say?
Thank you, Chairperson. Looking at the program, next week, Tuesday, we are considering and adopting the report on the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. That is not going to be a very long report, so the deliberations and the adoption shouldn't take too long. So I asked Chairperson whether we shouldn't ask DPME to come next week, Tuesday, and brief the committee immediately after the report has been adopted. Thank you.
So that's one firm possibility. Honourable members, in any case, we'll be in the meeting. So that's what we'll consider. If that doesn't work, we'll look at another possibility. Okay. Thank you.
I think it's possible, Chair, because what we can do to be spot on, we can allocate ourselves an hour or at most 2 hours. Then we shift the time from the normal 10 o'clock to 9. We start at 9 and we give the department, say, 11, so that we have 1.5 hours with them. Or we can even give them 10. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Arun Kumar, Honorable Sheikh.
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you. Thank you for the proposal, Secretary. But given the presentation that we just received, I think they will need to rework it so that we get to the gist of what is expected of them. But then when we respond to them today to say they should come next Tuesday, I think they're still going to bring the same presentation and it's not going to work for us. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Chair. I think I'm covered there. The issue is that the presentation did not cover what we want. And it means that they got to go back and do the homework and give us what we're looking for. So whether they can make it. But anyway, it's up to them to decide whether they can give it to us by Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
Okay, honourable members, issues raised, we'll consider them and we'll brief you and give you the last decision that we're taking on this one. But your concerns will be factored in as we decide on the next possible day. Thank you very much, honourable members. The meeting's adjourned.